Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
Today's episode has been sponsored by Jay McLaughlin. Jay McLaughlin is a timeless lifestyle brand with incredible style and a spirit of connection. I am obsessed with Jay McLaughlin and have been so honored that they are sponsoring my Zibbyverse tour. It just so happens that the tour goes to so many communities and areas of the country that have Jay McLaughlin stores. And I love that the brand is philanthropic through Jay McLaughlin's local and loyal programming. Host store events to give back to organizations that are meaningful to Jay McLaughlin's local communities. I also love the fact that the clothes are just so chic. They make me feel polished and modern. And the best part is that most of the line comes in fabrics that don't wrinkle. I especially love the dresses, the cashmere sweaters, the other sweaters. You'll see them all over my Instagram. I typically tag at Jay McLaughlin. And so you can check it out. It is absolutely one of my favorite brands, and I am over the moon excited to be working with them. In fact, I want to share the love with all of you. Jay McLaughlin is giving 20% off new customers and listeners of my podcast with special code ZIBBY20. Capital ZIBBY 20. That's 20% off for new customers and listeners of the podcast with special code capital Z Zibby 20. Take advantage of it today. My favorites are this white, open, long cashmere sweater that I've been wearing on every flight that I've taken on this tour. I have a blue with light blue horizontal striped sweater, several dresses I even wore on Good Morning America. Check it out, Jay McLaughlin. Thanks so much. Hi, this is Zibby Owens, and you're listening to the award-winning podcast, Moms Don't Have Time to Read Books. And speaking of books, I have two of my own books coming out this spring and summer. Princess Charming is a picture book, which debuts on April 19th, and Bookends, a memoir of love, loss, and literature, comes out on July 1st, and it is truly a labor of love. I hope you'll pre-order, order, and join me on tour as I go across the country. You can find out more at zibbyowens.com or bookendsmemoir.com. And you can follow me on Instagram at zibbyowens because I always post about everything. Enjoy the show. A.J. Jacobs is the author of The Puzzler, one man's quest to solve the most baffling puzzles ever, from crosswords to jigsaws to the meaning of life. A.J. Jacobs is the author of 4 New York Times bestsellers, including The Know-It-All, Drop Dead Healthy, and The Year of Living Biblically. He has given 4 TED Talks that have total views of more than 10 million. He is a contributor to NPR's Weekend Edition and writes for The New York Times and Esquire magazine, among others. His latest book is The Puzzler. Welcome, A.J. Thank you so much for coming on Moms Don't Have Time to Read Books to discuss The Puzzler, one man's quest to solve the most baffling puzzles ever, from crosswords to jigsaws to the meaning of life.
That is it. I am delighted to be here. Thank you, Zibby.
This was such an interesting read. First of all, I amused myself by trying to do a bunch of the puzzles and have decided the only ones I'm good at are the anagrams. So I don't know what that says about me, but I'm only good with those I could look at and like rearrange the letters right away. And the
anagrams
other ones I was
fun.
Are you
a spelling bee fan? Do you like spelling bee?
You know, now that I've read your book and heard about the thing that keeps you up in the middle of the night, the spelling bee challenge, I'm going to have to start doing that at, 3 in the morning? But
oh,
I hadn't
it's super
been doing
addictive.
That. I do Wordle.
What about Wordle? Yeah, you do Wordle.
Yeah,
Wordle is lovely. Yeah. My friend calls it the Tom Hanks of puzzles. It's very nice, non-threatening. And I also love the Wordle spinoffs. There's so many of them. They're so funny. Like, the Taylordle with Taylor Swift related words. So.
Oh my gosh, okay, so my teenage twins, we have a group text and every day we send each other our Wordle, you know, the results.
Right.
But my daughter will freak out when she hears that there actually exists a Taylor Swift Wordle and that will be all she will do from now on. So maybe I won't even tell her.
Well, my son is a Taylor Swift fan, so they can compare scores.
Perfect. We'll add your son to the text. Okay, so as our conversation indicates, your book focuses a lot on different mind puzzles from where they began pre-Will Shorts to how they've evolved and what it even means to be obsessed with puzzles and your understanding of that for yourself, for your family, the Rubik's Cube. I mean, it was really, really fascinating. So talk a little about when, I know you've been doing puzzles your whole life and this is sort of in your DNA, but when this became a book idea for you and how your pursuit of all of this knowledge really came together.
Well, I've always loved puzzles since I was a kid. I didn't have a busy dating schedule as a kid, so I had lots of time for puzzles. I loved them. And I actually decided it sort of shaped the way I look at the world. So I see everything as a puzzle. So one of my previous books was called The Year of Living Biblically, where I followed all the rules of the Bible. And that was sort of about the puzzle of religion and my heritage and Judaism. Like, what should I believe? That's a puzzle. And I wrote one about gratitude. How do you be grateful in this world where it's sometimes very hard to be grateful? And then I decided for this one, let me just stop beating around the bush and actually dive into my passion, which is puzzles of all kinds. And then I could print the puzzles, but I could go on these adventures. And I actually, it really solidified when I found a starting anecdote, a starting story, which is that a few years ago, I was the answer to one down in the New York Times crossword puzzle, which for a word nerd was like the highlight of my life. Like my wedding to my wife, that's pretty good. But this was the holy grail. And so I was riding high. And then my brother-in-law emailed me and he pointed out, he did congratulate me. I want to throw that out there. But he also pointed out that I was in the Saturday puzzle. And if you know anything about the New York Times crossword, Saturday is the hardest day, harder than Sunday. All the answers are totally obscure. No one's supposed to know them. So his point was, this is not a compliment. This is proof that no one knows who you are. That you don't. And so then I'm crushed. And the happy ending, though, is I told that story on a podcast. And it happened that one of the New York Times crossword puzzle makers was listening. And he decided to save me and put me in a Tuesday puzzle, which is Monday is the best, but Tuesday is still pretty good. I don't belong there. That's where like Lady Gaga and people like that belong. So I totally do not belong in the Tuesday puzzle, but he had pity on me and he put me in there. And that was the greatest day. And that's how I start the book.
Which all goes to show you never know what happens when you go on someone's podcast and you don't know who is listening. So you might as well put all the,
exactly.
you know,
Great
throw
point.
Something out to the universe. You know, you never know what'll happen.
So. That's right. I'm waiting for something after this podcast.
I know. Let's see. What can we manufacture? What's your, what puzzle related wish is still on your list? I don't know.
That's right. I got it. Well, I got to come up with some problem in my life that someone else can solve from listening to this. So I'll by the end, I'll have something
okay.
for you.
Might not be puzzle related at all, but you know, we'll see what we can do. We'll see what we can do. You talked interestingly about even the evolution of the modern crossword puzzle. It wasn't even called crosswords. It was called Word Cross. And you wrote, and my heart really went out to you, how you spent 9 days trying to solve the hardest crossword puzzle really in existence. And tell that story.
Well, the guy who actually saved me and put me in the Tuesday puzzle is known for writing the most devious crosswords. And his motto is, if you have to ask how hard, then it's not for you. So these are just dreadful, but delightful. Like, you know, you gotta have a little masochism, but also want that payoff. But I, as you mentioned, I also talked about the history of the crossword puzzle, which was hilarious because they were invented in 1913. It appeared in the New York World newspaper and they became a sensation. But one newspaper refused to print them, and that was the New York Times. They thought they were too lowbrow, they were snooty. And what I loved is I looked at the coverage in the 20s and 30s in the New York Times of crossword puzzles. And you would think that it was like crack cocaine in the 80s. It was the worst, like a pestilence on society. It caused divorces and murders and literally prison riots. All of these were real articles. So I love that. And then in 1942, World War II started. And they decided people needed some distraction, and they finally buckled. And now, of course, as you know from Wordle, they are the premier place for puzzles. So you never know.
I feel like it's more like the social media of its time, right? It's the only, it's how people were connecting, right? This joint activity that, you know, that I feel like on a fundamental level, people really need, whether it's like a great book we're all reading, a great show we're all watching, or the crossword of the day, that there aren't that many things left that we can all do on a schedule and enjoy together. And I feel like at least a crossword puzzle, and maybe now Wordle, and Wordle now too, is like, they're all tapping into that.
I love that you say that. And it's so true. It is a very social activity. And I love that you do that with your kids. And I saw Josh Wordle speak at the American Crossword Puzzle Tournament, which was a couple months ago, which I competed in and was it was a disaster. I say that I like to savor the puzzles more than rush through them. But he had a lovely speech where he talked about how it was really bringing people together. And he even had an anecdote of a gay man who was ostracized from his family because they were very conservative, but they bonded over Wordle. This was how they restarted their relationship. So I do believe that's one of the big themes of the book, is that puzzles are a force for good and they bring people together, like you say.
I didn't realize Wordle was named after a person.
Josh Wordle, but I think it's Wardle. Oh. So the pun is that it's Wordle with an O. Very clever, these people.
Did he talk about how he ended up inventing it?
Oh, yeah. It's a great story. It's a love story. You should have him on the podcast. Well, I guess he hasn't written a book. Yeah, he did it for his girlfriend at the time who loved puzzles. And then he just started sending it out to a couple of friends. And it took off. And it was funny, actually, because my book, in some senses, the timing was fantastic because I started it a few months before the pandemic. And then the pandemic came and puzzles were huge everywhere, and jigsaw puzzles, which I have a chapter on. You couldn't find them. It was like hand sanitizer or toilet paper.
I just got one as a gift today, actually. It's on my desk. Springtime at the library, 500 pieces, double-sided. Michael Storing. I'm never going to be able to do this. But anyway, that's hilarious. That's my
mom gave me that very same puzzle. So
no
we
way.
Have something, because she was a volunteer at the library, docent.
Oh my gosh.
So that's funny. I haven't done it yet either. But
well, I am sure you will do it in about 1 millionth of the time it will take me. So
I am not so sure. I have a chapter on jigsaws, and my family and I went to Spain right before the pandemic to represent the United States in the World Jigsaw Puzzle Championship. And unfortunately, we embarrassed our country. We came in second to last, at least not last. We beat Portugal. So that was nice. But I do love, I didn't always love jigsaws, but I learned to love them.
But I feel like jigsaw puzzles tap into a totally different part of the mind than some of these word puzzles. And even the word, even Wordle taps into something totally different than the crossword, right? Some of it is knowledge. This is spatial relations, which I am like terrible at, right? They all have something a little bit different. I'm sure working together, it's all great for you, but I don't know. I feel like
you're good
at puzzles. And sorry, yeah, go ahead.
No, you're absolutely right. I think I compare it to dating. Like there's a different type of puzzle for everyone. So if you're good at spatial relations, like you say, the Rubik's Cube, and there are also different benefits. I mean, the jigsaw, unless you're in the jigsaw puzzle tournament, which is a speed tournament, is very meditative. I'm not a good meditator. But I do find putting these little pieces together is very relaxing. Others find that like just satisfying. I listened to Hugh Jackman on a podcast recently, and he's a huge jigsaw puzzle fan, which I did not know. And he compared it, and this is a little gross, so blame him, but not me, because he said it. He said that when he puts the two pieces together and feels that like thud, that it's like popping a really good zit. So that is
That's not where I thought you were going with that. Okay. I didn't know what was coming, but that was not the direction I had anticipated.
Well, I wanted to warn you. I wanted the trigger warning, but then it wasn't actually that bad.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
This message is sponsored by Greenlight. As kids get older, some things about parenting can get easier. I mean, not many, but some. But others don't, like having conversations about money. Point is, kids won't really know how to manage their money unless they're actually in charge of it, and that is where Greenlight can help. Greenlight is a debit card and money app made for families. Parents can send money to their kids and keep an eye on their kids' spending and saving, while kids and teens build money confidence and lifelong financial literacy skills. With the Greenlight app, kids can learn how to save, invest, and spend wisely, thanks to games that teach money skills in a fun and accessible way. I got Greenlight debit cards for my kids. The greatest thing, you can actually add their photos that take up half the card. So when I handed the cards to the kids, they were like, "This is so exciting." So they look great. Unfortunately, I only put the required 2 cents on at the beginning to make sure they worked. So the kids were like, "Well, what should I spend my 2 cents on?" Anyway, millions of parents and kids are learning about money on Greenlight. It's the easy, convenient way for parents to raise financially smart kids and families to navigate life together. Sign up for Greenlight today and get your first month free when you go to greenlight.com/Zibby. That's greenlight.com/Zibby to try Greenlight for free. Greenlight.com/Zibby.
Speaking of what I thought you might have said, I just wanted to read this one paragraph because your book is really funny. I mean, you have a really funny sense of humor. And
I really mean it.
I mean, you probably know that. But anyway, you said, "Why do I and millions of others love puzzles? Why would anyone bother frustrating themselves so much? I don't consider myself a masochist, at least not in the literal sense. I don't like physical pain." You said, "I have no moral problem with S&M, though I do find the prospect of it tiring. It involves too much equipment for me. It's the same reason I don't like skiing." I laughed out loud when I read that sentence, by the way.
Thank you so much for noticing that one. Yeah, I mean, it's 100% true. No moral problem. It just seems exhausting to me. And same with skiing. I think it's partly because I don't own skis, so I have to rent them. And it's like, you know, 6 hours online and then an hour on the slope. But yes, thank you for noticing.
No problem. I agree with you, re-skiing. I grew up skiing. This is sounding very privileged, and I apologize for that. But that is just it is how I grew up. Anyway, I grew up skiing. And as a grown-up, I have decided that the payoff is completely not worth the time. Like, I am not doing it. I am not traveling to a faraway mountain and getting all the stuff and waiting on the lines for, like, the joy in that.
Some love it.
I know.
Like S&M. So more power to them.
More. You know what? They can all have fun together. S&M clubs at ski resorts. Maybe we have an untapped, untapped market.
Brilliant. Yeah, you're a good business person.
Maybe this is what this podcast is going to bring into the world. God help us. So what was it like for you sort of compiling all of these puzzles? Like, did you try doing them all again as you were, like, how did you even pick which ones to put in the book and which ones to leave behind and all of that when you were structuring the book itself?
Well, I wanted some that would be fun for people to do. And I love that you love anagrams, because that I do too. But then I also wanted just the craziest puzzles ever. So for instance, I have a chapter on secret codes. Mm-hmm. And there's a very famous, one of the most famous unsolved puzzles in the world is at the headquarters of the CIA. And it's been there for 32 years, and not even the CIA has solved it, and it's kind of their job. So it's this secret code on a sculpture, and it's called Kryptos, and people have solved part of it, but part of it remains unsolved. And just the obsession, that's what I love, these communities, mm-hmm. thousands of people who are obsessed, and they every day they have new theories. Oh, it's Moby Dick. No, I think the secret is going to be Navajo Windtalkers. And then when I went there, because I got permission from the CIA to go there. And so I was like their secret spy. And they had all these projects for me to do while I was down there. Like, you know, see if there's a hidden microphone in this hole. And so that was hilarious. So I wanted a mix of ones people could do, but also ones that were really wild that I could write about.
Wait, speaking of code. So this book is unique in that you said in the introduction somewhere, and I did spend a few minutes on this and of course failed, that you had buried a secret code and that then you can go onto your website, I think you said the Puzzler, and type in, if you get the code, then you get access to a bunch of puzzles and then you can win like $10,000, right? Tell me about this.
Yes, that is. This will be open until June 4th. I'm not sure when the podcast will drop.
We'll find out. I don't know. Right. I never know when anything's airing, but anyway.
Well, what happened was as a kid, I loved this book, Masquerade. You may be too young for that, but it was, do you remember?
I think it's my age. I just don't think I know it. I'm 45. So I feel like I'm not too young for really anything.
No, I'm older. Yeah, you're a youngster for me.
Okay.
But yeah, it was a British illustrated book. And in it, the illustrations hid the clues to a hidden treasure. And it was 1979. And it just caused a madness. People were rants. This was in England, digging up yards everywhere, trespassing, threatening the author. And I was obsessed with it. And I thought, since I'm writing a book about puzzles, I got to do something similar. I don't want to bury anything because I don't want to cause trespassing, but I wanted to have a little secret code. So in the intro, which is available, as you say, for free, on thepuzzlerbook.com. So you don't need to buy the book. I hope you do, but you don't need to. And then in there is a secret code. If you go to thepuzzlerbook.com, there are hints. So you should do that if you have. And if you crack the code, it opens up to this wild, what's called a puzzle hunt, which is kind of like an escape room, but on bath salts. And it is all of over 20 puzzles. And if you solve them, you get to the final round, which starts on June 4th. If you win that, you win $10,000. So I didn't do the puzzles. They're by these geniuses, because I can make okay puzzles, but these are like Michelangelo of puzzles. These are amazing.
Wow. Are you going to announce the answer for all of us who tried to crack the code and didn't?
Absolutely. Yes. After June 4th. I can't do it. Otherwise, I'll get in a lot of trouble.
Well,
with
of course.
A lot of
yes.
people.
I will check back then. I kept trying different. Anyway, I don't know. It was worth
it. Yeah, it was worth a shot. Keep trying. Don't give up. Again, look on the website. It's got lots of hints that are important. You can't
I think that's another really important thing about people who do puzzles, or the willingness to go past the point of frustration and just stick to it. I mean, you mentioned how one strategy is just going through crossword questions and finally you find one and then slowly you do it, like, right, like one thing slowly leads to another. You have to have that patience. Like, I don't know if that I have that patience right now, at least not in this time of my life. But like this whole, like for the real advanced puzzler, like, why, how can they not give up? Like, how do you make sure you stick to it, and how do you inspire a lay puzzler like myself to not give up early?
Well, yeah, it really is. I mean, it has taught me a lot of stick-to-itiveness and grit and all those other things that we're supposed to instill in our kids. And I mean, one thing is, there are plenty of puzzles where you don't really need much. And sure. Like the spelling bee, that's like constant dopamine hits. So, you know, you'll get a word and then you'll get another. And so that's nice. But the really hard puzzles, you definitely need some And one big strategy, which has been around forever, Leonardo da Vinci. I almost said Leonardo DiCaprio.
I thought that's what you were going to say. So that's even more pathetic. Yeah.
Okay. Leonardo da Vinci wrote about this, that he said, when you're confronted with a problem, he was talking about painting, but walk away, take a nap, do something else. And it, your brain works in mysterious ways. It marinates in the back of your brain and you come back and you have a new fresh perspective. So don't give up forever. Give up for like 10 minutes, give up for a day and then come back. That's one big lesson I learned.
All right. Well, maybe I'll try your introduction again.
Tomorrow.
Right. Yeah. Tomorrow, maybe. What is coming next? What book, what are you attacking next?
That's a puzzle, if you will.
That's a puzzle, so yes.
I need it. And I do love getting suggestions. So if readers have suggestions, and I've gotten tons over the years, I mean, some have been great. Some I get a lot, weirdly, try to become the greatest lover in the world, like do all the positions in the Kama Sutra.
Oh my goodness.
And I did bring it up to my wife. She's like, no way. That sounds exhausting and horrible, which I kind of agree with. I mean, I don't have the flexibility.
But you considered it. So that's good.
For like a nanosecond. If there's some young journalist listening, please enjoy on me. That's I would read it, but I don't want to read it about
myself.
Note,
if this is you listening and you've decided to take that idea and run with it, you must dedicate your book to AJ Jacobs.
Or don't mention me at all. That's another, that's another option.
Do you have any advice to aspiring authors, for aspiring authors?
I do. Let me give you two. One is that I believe ideas are the lifeblood of writing. Mm-hmm. And very rarely will an editor come and say, here's an idea, will you write it? So some people are good at coming up with ideas while walking or taking a shower. I actually need to set aside a time. Like I need a little date with myself where I carve out 15 minutes and I turn off my computer and my iPhone and I just brainstorm, come up with ideas. Maybe I'll have magazines around or something to let my mind play with. But that to me is very important. So every day I spend 15 minutes idea generating. And then the other one, I've given a couple of speeches to writing groups and I have this phrase, strategic chutzpah, the Jewish phrase for cojones. You've got to put yourself out there and, you know, you've got to network, you've got to be okay with rejection because, you know, at the start of my career, I'd be lucky if it was a 99% rejection rate. I mean, I still have a high rejection rate and I've been doing this a long time. So just know that that is part of it. And so you've got to have chutzpah. And if you don't, pretend to have chutzpah, the sort of fake it till you feel it, which I still do a lot. So those are just some little nuggets in case they're helpful.
Amazing. Well, maybe your next book could be about failure, you know.
That's an interesting idea.
Right.
I like
the chutzpah concept.
And then if the book fails, I can be like, that was all part of the plan.
Yeah. See? AJ, thank you so much. Thanks for coming on Moms No Time to Read Books. And this was so fascinating. It was more than a book. It was a book. It was a mind teaser. It was, you know, it was great. It's like a bonus section. Anyway, it was great. And I'm so glad.
Well, thank you, Zippy. And in the spirit of gratitude, thank you for what you do for authors and getting the word out and being an author yourself. Thank you for putting out the lovely content into the world. So
that's very
thank
sweet.
You.
And I guess in the spirit of gratitude, also thank you to John Levy for introducing us. And
yes, we love John.
Yes,
we love John.
All right. Thank you so much. Take care.
Thank you, Zippy.
Okay. This was fun. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Hi, I'm Zibby Owens, and you're listening to the award-winning podcast, Moms Don't Have Time to Read Books. If you like this podcast, you will love my new anthology called Moms Don't Have Time to Have Kids. Check it out, and you'll hear from 49 authors about all sorts of things moms don't have time to do. All the authors have been on this podcast. Also, check out my TikTok, @WithZibbyAndTracy, my other podcast, Sex Talk with Zibby and Tracy. Check out Moms Don't Have Time to Write on Medium. And of course, my new publishing company called Zibby Books. And now back to our daily author interview site and a quick hello from some of my kids.
Hi.
Hi.
Hello. Enjoy the show.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.